Now tuned into the greatest.
With just over a week till NBA regular season action, we are here to discuss the NBA season previews. My name is Ryan Antonio Henry, host of Below the Hardwood, but this is a crossover episode. So I'm also joined by the Open Run podcast with Will Strickland, joined by, of course, host Will Strickland. How you doing, sir?
Trying to maintain daily operations, sir. You know how it goes.
Of course, of course. And how it goes here is we are going through division by division in the NBA season preview series. And today we're here to talk the Northwest Division. The Northwest Division teams featuring the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz, if you remember, two legendary players, Karl Malone, John Stockton, dominating the early 90s, late 90s of NBA basketball. We also have
A whole nother century, man. They don't want to hear that.
The Timberwolves, you can throw in, obviously, Kevin Garnett, Kevin Love, Latrell Sprewell, Wally Zerviak. I love that name. You got the Denver Nuggets, the early days of Carmelo Anthony running that squad, now being led by the Joker. See how things change, Americans to Europeans. You got the Trail Blazers, of course, early days, Clyde Drexler, but now we got Dame Lillard running that helm. And then, of course, the Thunder, which once housed three MVPs of Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden, but now look like a team full of misfits that are just looking to get their next paycheck and move on to the next team.
But they have draft picks. Sam Presti's a wizard. Somehow they keep saying he's a wizard. Word to my man who was in Philadelphia, who started the process, Sam Hinkie. Don't know.
But what you guys can see from that little brief rundown is there has not really been a team that has dominated this division, much like there has the Pacific, much like, again, you can say about the Southwest. These teams have equally shared their time at the top. But we're here to talk 2021-22 NBA season. So to begin, you know what? Let's start off with the surprise from the Northwest Division. Will, what surprises you, or what surprises do you have coming out of the Northwest Division this upcoming season?
The Minnesota Timberwolves. I didn't stutter. I'm not playing games. Anthony Edwards looks like the truth right now. It looks like he's been working out all summer on his game. And again, as he goes, this is going to be interesting because it's no longer Cat's team. That's no disrespect to Carl Anthony Towns. He could be a guy who's on the move, depending upon where they are at the trade deadline. He's given a lot of his time. I know that dealing with this COVID thing, seven members of his family died as a result of COVID. So I could not imagine that walking that locker room and saying, hey, I'm not going to take a shot and looking at Karl Anthony Towns. And again, I'm not caping one way or the other, but I'm saying circumstances being what they were with this guy dealing with that, I don't know if I could walk in the locker room and be, that's my teammate, that's my brother, right? So I think that Anthony Edwards is going to make a real difference there. And I think that D'Angelo Russell being his running mate and showing him how to get him on, you know, as long as he doesn't show him his cell phone, he's okay. But as a veteran leading that guy and leading that team, I think they're going to have some help on the front line. I like some of the younger pieces. And, you know, even with the upheaval in the front office, whether it be the ownership change over the next 2 years, Gershon Rosas being kicked out, the guy, what's his name, Sanjay Gupta, the guy who created NBA Trade Machine for ESPN.
Oh.
MIT and Stanford grad is in there as a new GM. My brother, my family, Joe Branch, is the assistant GM there. And I'm not going to say he's not going to give me any inside information, but I feel good about what they're doing there, and I want to see them do well. So that's my surprise. The Minnesota Timberwolves in this division.
And you're forgetting a little championship pedigree is now running ownership. You got Alex Rodriguez, who Edwards admitted probably never watched him play baseball. So
championship pedigree is a real reach, my guy. He's like at the end of the road. It's a real reach, but you know,
A-Rod coming in and talking to them, it would motivate me. But you know, Edwards probably again wasn't around to
watch. It's a 19-year-old kid who plays video games all day. He's not worried about no A-Rod. That's what I said. You're talking about Karl Malone, man. Come on, man. I don't care.
I don't hate that as your pick because we looked at, again, if you guys or any of you have seen Carl Anthony Towns' Media Day interview where he basically went through his life in the past year or two, his tenure with the Wolves. It wouldn't shock me to see him in a New Jersey by midseason or even way before. So it could very well be Anthony Edwards' team by the end of the season, maybe even at the start. I will go in terms of some. I actually also kind of had the Wolves as my surprise. But you know what? I will say my surprise is.
Don't freestyle if that's what you are. And I took your bars. Live with it. Feel like, you know, you should feel like right now.
What?
Papa Doc from 8 Mile, when I took all your stuff, all the weapons you had, and you couldn't even rap. So
it's
if
true.
You can't,
it's true.
So just co-sign and say I'm the king, and let's move it on.
I'm co-signing, but the reason why I co-signed and I have this written down is because they have nowhere else to go. You can't do worse than what happened last season. COVID, not to say that it's gone, it's not gone, but it's being handled better than it was last season. We now have vaccinated players over 90%. Thank you, CJ McCollum. Over 90% of the league is vaccinated.
97% right now.
97%. Maybe Wiggins and a couple others have changed.
Why are we talking about those numbers, though? Because the United States is like 42%. So stop.
42%.
It's not the NBA's problem to solve.
The point is it's being handled better because we didn't know what it was last season. We didn't have the vaccination out at that time. So, you know, it's going to be a little bit different in that organization. Obviously, I'm not saying Towns went on the mic and said stability was one of the biggest issues. Maybe he finally gets that this year, but I feel like there's nowhere else to go up for that team. So I will sign off and say that's my surprise.
Okay.
The Nuggets, interesting year. They were actually looking, you know, before the injury of course, Canadian Jamal Murray, they were looking promising, like they were going to get to the Western Conference Finals and possibly, you know, challenge to get to the NBA Finals. But obviously the injury happened. They had midseason trades to get Aaron Gordon. Mm-hmm. So we are waiting for the return of Jamal Murray. I don't think he's going to be obviously ready by next week.
No.
So I still have them remaining in the top five in the West. I think Joker has proved the NBA MVP, reigning NBA MVP, that he is very capable of leading a team and keeping them high. Do I think they're going to be able to, you know, get to the West Final and the NBA Final if Jamal's not, you know, 100%? Probably not. But I do still see them remaining in the top of the West in the elite, at least. What's your take on the Nuggets?
I'm a fan of Michael Malone as a coach. I'm a fan of what he does in the locker room for those guys. He was at the early stages of LeBron James's career. He's a really good guy with the players. And I like that they kept their core together by signing all these max contracts. You have four guys on max contracts there, and the Joker, and Aaron Gordon, and Michael Porter Jr., who got his five-year, $207 million contract with a kicker in it, of course, because it's really a five-year, $172 million contract. He has to make an all-NBA team to get to $207 million.
Oh, see, I missed
right?
that.
That's not going to happen.
No.
Well, that's why I'm here, sir. That's why I'm here. That's what I do.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So, and also having Jamal Murray under contract. So you keep your core together, I think it's going to be fine. I owe Will Barton an apology. I said some bad, nasty things about him on our show earlier in the year, or last year when we talked previewing the playoffs,
yep,
that he was going to be a problem for Michael Porter Jr. and for Jamal Murray, that him coming back from injury is going to create a problem. He didn't. He's a professional. I owe him that much. He's going to still be a professional, and like a real professional. I think he's going to play his part. But what we're going to see this year, now with no Jamal, is the guys are going to try and overdo it, try to do too much to shore up what Jamal does instead of playing their roles and playing their positions. You will not find another 6'10" wing player who can create off the bounce, who can get to the free throw line and shoot at 80-plus percent, who can shoot 45% from three and 50% from the field, like Michael Porter Jr. can. You're not going to find those growing on trees today. You're not going to find a Kevin Durant light like him. And that's tough, and that's a lot of praise for him, but he has those kind of skills. They knew that when he was coming out of Missouri. The back injury slowed him down, but you will not – they had to pay for him, or he'd go somewhere else and get that money. So it makes sense for them to sign him and keep that – again, the core unit, you still have Monty Morris and Campazzo on the bench over there. You got Aaron Gordon, who's now going to have a full training camp with those guys, integrate himself into that culture in Denver. So Denver's going to be anywhere between, I think, 5-7 in the West, and that's going to be tough for them because depending upon – it's one Joker injury away from being, you know, in the playoff play-in games.
True. No, I can see that. And you know what? I'm sorry because I've been quoted on saying I do not agree with the Michael Porter Jr. signing, but I had no idea about the caveat that's in his contract. So 172, let's go with that. I saw the headline, and I'm like, you know what?
It's clickbait for you, Ryan. You know that. The number looks better. What number looks better? To him, it doesn't matter which number looks better.
Yeah, no.
To us, we're like, how in the hell did this dude get $207 million and making $41 million a year playing basketball? How?
And I was comparing it to the Luka, the Trey, who have proved in the playoffs that they can do it. Not to say that he hasn't, but you know, you have DeAndre, who proved in the playoffs that he's worth the money, but he's not even getting it. So when I saw the MPJ 207, I'm like, you know, I don't agree
with Ryan. Are you a pocket watcher? Are you you like the Pat Pocket dude? Are you a hater?
I shouldn't be, but
let that man live. Can he flourish? Can that young man flourish?
He has the chance to flourish with no Jamal doubt. Murray. He is now, in my opinion, second option on that team. So let's move it to a team that there's going to be something that happens actually, you know what? They haven't really done much, and that's kind of the reason why they're in this spot. The Trailblazers. My thing with the Trailblazers is, do we still see Dame in that jersey by season's end? And I'll real quick say yes, because he is a part of the fraternity of loyal losers. I mentioned this in the Southwest Division when we were talking about Ja. We were talking about others who stay with teams a little bit too longer than they should. But the question still remains, because obviously with rumors circulating that, you know, he might get traded, Dame will never come out and say that he wants out. But could we possibly see him out of Portland?
He's their best asset, but I don't see it. I see him moving CJ McCollum and somewhere else before that. But again, this is a team that got better on their bench, but they get better on the court with their starters. They have a bunch of guys who understand their roles and are happy to be in the NBA right now. Are they game changers off that bench? Nasir Little will have an opportunity to show and prove. I don't know if he's that guy. I do know that Anthony Simmons has shown and proved in the playoffs, and he could be a spark plug. But is he long-term solution? Probably not. So what are you looking at? Yusuf Nurkic has to stay healthy, but there's no chance. I like Larry Nance Jr. on that team. I think he's the big pickup for that bench. And again, with the issues already on that bench, with the coaching, like Chauncey Billups had a hard time coming in there, and you know he's on the cusp of being a Hall of Famer next year. But also Milt Palacios, who got caught up in this health benefit scheme with the NBPA, was also an assistant coach there. Is he going to be there? Is that going to be a distraction all year? I don't know. So there are a lot of moving parts with Portland. I do believe they're like that team that's going to be in the bottom half of their top 10. So they could be anywhere from 6 to 10 in the Western Conference as long as they have a guy who can catch fire like anyone else in the league, like Damian. What is his middle name? Lamont Ali Lillard.
Oh, wow.
Senior.
Senior.
You know, oh, I got them all. Yeah, you know, I got them all off the top of the knot.
There you go. Outside of Luka, I'm a Dame fan. I'm a Dame Dollar fan. I rock with Dame, but he is
there's no loyalty in sports business, dude. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
He is, and he's been quoted saying this. He is trying to pull off that Kobe Dirk situation.
Giannis,
and it's not.
Giannis gave him inspiration because he stayed in Milwaukee. Everyone thought he was leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, $250 million will keep you there for a minute, right?
But here's the difference. It's like he sees that and he's like, you know what? That inspired me. But that front office did something about it. Mm. What is your front office doing? That's the issue.
I mean, Tony Snell's not moving the meter for me. You know, I mean, Ben McLemore's out there too. Come on, man. You're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic right now.
So I'm okay with the fraternity of Loyal Losers because I actually cheered one on for years until he finally got his. But
who?
That would be Dirk Nowitzki in 21. He was a part of that fraternity of Loyal Losers, but he changed that. But you need the front office to support you. Milwaukee was put under heavy amounts of pressure from a lot of teams that were waiting to pounce on Giannis, but they
don't want to lose Giannis.
You don't want to lose him. And what did they do? They get the difference maker. They take oh my God, I'm having a brain freeze here. Point guard, but they grabbed Drew Holiday, and in my opinion, he was the main difference maker in
getting that chance. One of the best on ball defenders in the league.
So unless Portland is it O'Shea. It's
Neil O'Shea, yeah.
Neil O'Shea, unless he does something, I think you're going to see more of the same from the Trailblazers.
No doubt.
Let's look at the other team, the last one, and I say last one because they probably will end up to be the last team in this division, the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I'm sorry. The Utah Jazz are like We'll get there.
I leave the trend that I'm going on. I leave the presumed winner.
Let's get some love to the Canadians. Let's get you know what? Let's keep it funky. Let's just leave it to the entire British Commonwealth. So we're gonna give some love to Shea and also Lou Dort.
Yep.
Lock him up, Lou.
Yep.
And they're gonna be out there and do whatever they need to do. They're not gonna win a whole bunch of games. But I'm going to see what happens with Josh Giddey, who I called basically Adam Morrison on the draft show.
Yeah.
They've been hyping him up, but he had the privilege of going through the NBA Academy over there, being a part of that. And he looked good in some preseason games. He was injured early on in, I think, the summer league. But I'm going to see what he can do. I'm going to see if he's going to be the difference maker. And that's a guy they can build around with Shea and Lou Dort. And go, Darius Bazley is going to be another guy that's going to stick out there. I think with those four guys, if they can build something there, and Sam Presti has everybody's draft picks, number one picks for the next, what? I know they have all the Clippers until at least 2027.
Stacked.
So we'll see what they turn into. But right now, that's their core. And again, they're going to be last in the division and one of the worst teams in the league.
So they, to me, It's like the Price is Right showcase. You know, when you win on the Price is Right and then they take you to guess, you know, the price on this, and then you get it. Mm-hmm. They are a showcase team to me. People go there to play, look good, and then get their contract somewhere else. So
how many people still watch this Price is Right? You're way younger than I am. Are you aging yourself already?
I'm aging myself already. I'm getting up there, unfortunately. But that's what that team reminds me of. It's a showcase team. Because you look at Chris Paul. What did he do? He goes and he makes that team a playoff team. Mm-hmm. And then he takes his money and goes to Phoenix. You go there, you show out, and then you leave. That's the team to me. I'm waiting for them to get – Lou Dort needs to get somewhere.
He's not going to get the opportunity he has right now to build something. So in some places, like it's more likely that, well, since they signed this long, that's why they kept Shea. That's why they gave him that money, even though he was injured last year. They want to keep him in the fold because they know what they have. Oh, so again, there's some patience. Oh, he got the 5-2-7, he got the 5 years, $207 million, or was he getting 172? I can't remember which one, but he's on that.
Yeah,
the rookie extension max, he got that.
Okay, it's the young talent, the upside. But how long can you keep doing that? You know, like
as long as they can't have Sam Presti in the front office, they're going to do that.
They're going to do that. You don't think they would trade, you know, two or three of these guys to pull maybe a disgruntled star? You know,
no, that's why they ship Al Horford out as soon as possible.
True.
Well, that's why they let Chris Paul go to where he was going to go. I don't know why they brought him in the first place, but he was part of a trade to get what they wanted. They wanted draft picks.
They shut him down.
All those draft picks.
They just shut him down, and I guess he agreed not to play for the rest of the season.
He got paid to show.
I never understood it, but
yeah.
Again, I left them kind of, you know, last ish because they're probably going to be last in this division.
They are.
Let's look at the winner, the one that I left behind, the Utah Jazz. Last year, the Utah Jazz, they were the surprise. They were the surprise. They basically ran the table in the Western Conference. Again, you people can say COVID year, some injuries may have helped that. I don't think so. I do believe that the Jazz were a powerhouse in the season, in the regular season they were. And obviously, you know, comments were made about why the Jazz didn't get some respect. I think LeBron James came out and said, you know what, who ever really used the Utah Jazz in 2K? That's the team that no one really, you know, cared about or even gave attention, which obviously their fans didn't like. But the Jazz actually, to me, one, they will be the winner. And then two, I actually have them doing better than what they did last year because of their offseason pickups. Very underrated, very low key. You have veteran Rudy Gay, which, yeah, he's getting up there in age, but hey, clutch buckets. He's known as the Raptor Killer. You can go search his YouTube highlights and see that at the end of the game, late game situations, if you need a shooter, that's the guy you want. That's not even the half of it. You got Eric Paschal from the Golden State Warriors, who never really got a chance to show his full capacity of what he could do. But when, you know, the Warriors were hit with a string of injuries, he was the guy kind of leading that charge for that team. And his play wasn't that bad. I'm a big Paschal fan. And then you got, again, low-key pickup. But if you get a tall bruiser, you got Hassan Whiteside on that team now.
So, I mean, let's be clear, to have two defenders like Rudy Gobert and Hassan Whiteside, who was easily top three in block shots in the league last year, but the league is changing. Mm-hmm. They exposed Rudy Gobert in the playoffs. They're going to expose Hassan Whiteside even more. Rudy Gay is a zero-sum part at this point in his career. It's you like the name, the volume? Nah. And Eric Paschal, like, I thought he was going to be all right in Golden State, but they found Kuminga and they have Moses Moody. They felt like they got an upgrade, so they had to let him go. I get that. But I don't see those guys, again, turning the needle. I think losing George Niang off that bench is a big thing for them, which sounds crazy. Niang's in Philadelphia right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Come off the bench for them. But I just believe that, again, they kind of stood pat, really. They didn't have anybody. And it's not a destination city. I mean, Salt Lake City is a fine place, I guess, depending upon what you're into. But it's not a destination. Mike Conley's not getting any younger. He's not going to play 45 games this year. Donovan Mitchell can be injury prone, can be asked to do a whole lot more. Jordan Clarkson, Dare Jordan, as we used to call him when he was in Cleveland, dare him to shoot. He's going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Reigning sixth man of the year. I just don't see them making any moves. I think they regressed a little bit or just kind of stand. They're not going to win 60-plus games this year. They're not going to win that.
No.
No. They're going to win maybe 52, 54 games, 55 maybe. They're going to have to deal with Conley's injuries. They're going to have to deal with some games of Rudy Carlson Gay being the leading scorer, and that's going to be tough because he's going to take 30 shots to make 20 points. But at the end of the day, I don't believe that they're going to be at the top of the division. I believe that the reigning MVP will lead his Denver Nuggets to win this division.
Oh. All right. I like how you included your winner in that. The Nuggets, you have the Nuggets at the top. And again, COVID did change a lot about the regular season. When you have stars missing for possibly 14 days to that affects.
It's records. An injury. It's an injury. COVID is like an injury.
It affects records. It does.
It's
affect
an
records.
Injury.
And Utah predominantly was one of the healthiest teams in the league, even though Rudy was the first culprit, if you want to say.
Let me grab my mic real quick.
Started the whole thing when the NBA got shut down.
Look, we shouldn't blame Rudy.
We're not going to blame him, but
It's just bad.
I just remember he was at the forefront of that.
But he has responsibility. It's like, you know, I was about to make an off-color comment, but I have to be clear on that, and so I'm going to leave it alone.
So I got the Utah Jazz winning. Will has the Denver Nuggets. Let us know who is winning the Northwest Division. Do you feel like there could be a surprise team? We went through pretty much everybody here. So you can find this podcast and all the others from the Western Conference. We've talked about the Pacific. We talked about the Southwest, gone through the winners, the surprises. You can find all of them at wearepress.net. Of course, you can find the Open Run podcast with Will Strickland there as well. You can find Below the Hardwood, hosted by myself, Alan Shane Lewis, and Dexter Ariola. And of course, where all podcasts can be downloaded, that's Spotify, iHeart, Stitcher, Google, just everywhere. Go find it. This was the Northwest Division, and tune in for the Eastern Conference previews, where we'll break that down over at the Open Run with Will Strickland. Thank you, and we are out.